Bad news. Liberal capitalism rebounds. By the 1950s, the liberal nations had, damnably, recovered from the Depression and the war and were, even worse, flourishing under capitalism. That was extremely disappointing to the left, but it was not necessarily hopeless. Lenin's theory of imperialism had explained that the effects of capitalist exploitation would not be found in the powerful and rich nations, since those nations simply exported those costs to the poorer and weaker developing nations. So perhaps hope for revolution could be found in the developing capitalist nations. But over time, that hope fizzled. The exported oppression was not to be found in those nations either. Nations that adopted capitalism in varying degrees were not suffering from their trade with the richer nations. Instead, the trade was mutually beneficial, and from humble beginnings, those nations that adopted capitalist measures rose first to comfort and then to wealth. Just as a teenager typically starts working at low-tech, labor-intensive, low-paying jobs, and then acquires skills and so is promoted to positions that are higher-tech, information-intensive, and higher-paying, the developing capitalist nations followed the same pattern. And in the most developed nations, overall wealth was rising and poverty was decreasing yet further. What were once luxuries were becoming standard fare. And the working classes were enjoying stable employment, their television sets, the latest fashions, and their vacations across the country in their new cars. In the 1950s, accordingly, the radical left turned its attention and hopes even more strongly to the Soviet Union, looking for it to outstrip the capitalist West in being both an exemplar of moral idealism and a paragon of economic production. Those hopes were soon to be dashed cruelly. While the economic data were mixed and the propaganda was heavy, the Soviet Union was experiencing chronic difficulties in providing basic consumer items and feeding its people. Some productive successes had been achieved by directing vast amounts of resources to the military and heavy industries. Yet in providing for its people's basic needs, the Soviet Union was not only not progressing, in many areas, its production had declined to levels below those of the pre-1917, pre-communist revolution era. In the 1950s, contemporary data from both Soviet and American sources painted much the same picture. Data were sparse and subject to blinkered interpretations, but by the mid-1950s, a decade after the end of the war, the bloom was off the red rose of hope for even the most ardent of the Soviet fellow travelers. The rose was crushed in 1956.